In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew and called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundation of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am. Send me." Father God, it's a joy to serve you, to be called in the midst of sin, discouragement, hurt, pain, and pain, and to become your servant. What a joy. Today I pray that you use your word to touch your people here. Teach us, transform us, make us better prepared for heaven. We love you, Jesus. Forgive our brokenness, sinfulness. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the work that's already finished. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm originally from Ethiopia, so I was in my teenage years with my mom passed away when I was one, and I was with my dad, and my dad was saying, "Werku, you are no more my son. I am no more your father, because your life is just full of mess. I'm so tired." This all was happening in the midst of the communist government killing teenagers, kids. We were looking, 5-6 people dead on the street every day. We don't know where our next meal is coming from. A lot of pain, a lot of sin, a lot of discouragement. And I was not a believer. And when I heard what my dad said, I was just empty. I wanted somebody to take that place. So 2 weeks after that, I heard a message from John 1:12 that said, "To those who believe him, he gave them the right to become the children of God." You know that verse. And I said, "Oh, now I don't have a father, so I'm going to find another father." I didn't understand the gospel implications and everything. I didn't understand that. But I understood that I have a father now. So there was an altar call, so I came to Christ that day. And after I came to Christ, a missionary from here, who were studying the gospel, the book of Romans, and I understood that God accepted us as we are. God loves sinners. So the question to me was, why does God have to deal with me? He is perfect. He is holy, right? Why does God have to deal with broken, sinful people, broken, sinful community? That's the same way for Isaiah. If you read chapter 1 through 5, Israel is broken, sinful. God invited them to repent. In chapter 1, verse 18, they said no. God called them, right? You remember? come, let us reason together. So they said, no, destruction is everywhere. And on top of that, the better king, the best king since King David or King Solomon had just passed away, died, and it's going to be worse. There's nothing in Isaiah's mind. And then God shows up, high and lifted up. Just amazing where God comes. So Isaiah sees this God in his glory. Isaiah is sad because there is no one who cares about God. The king is dead, and one of the worst kings after that has not yet reigned. It's in transition, and nothing he sees around is good. Nothing is good. And God showed up. And God was high above all the problems that's going on. As a sign, his presence was full on the earth, even when, things seemed that God has forgotten us because the people are sinful, everything is broken. It looked like God was in charge, but at some point God decided to take a vacation and gave it, just like Todd, gave it to somebody else, and they messed it up, There was nothing, but now God showed up in the midst of all that feeling. And in his glory, God was there. So Isaiah sees the seraphim who don't even dare to look at God. And this is very close to Isaiah's culture, to my own culture, where when you are a servant of the higher, you cover your feet, a sign of humility. And they were ready to serve him, the seraphim. So Isaiah, God did not necessarily need Isaiah, but God sees Isaiah. Isaiah sees God in all his glory. And they were saying, holy, holy, holy. Which means God is not dependent on sinful creatures like me and you. Or like Isaiah, God is above all. The Trinity, holy, holy, holy. God was independent. He didn't need to all of us. And the foundation was shaking. And God's glory was there. In the midst of sin, brokenness, discouragement, hopelessness, God was there. Do you see some similarity? When I see our ministry, there are many days I want just to run away. My own brokenness. The brokenness around us. It just doesn't make sense. But in the midst of that, just God shows up. About 2 years ago, our church building, it has a steeple. No one has ever checked for 50 years. Suddenly, that steeple falls down. Fortunately, nobody got hurt. And in that year, we didn't have enough money to pay for insurance, so the building did not have insurance. So everybody was mad at me. And, in Africa, when you have a church, you don't have to worry about building because it's open air in many cases, or you make a tent and then you collect your tent and you are gone. But God was just building our faith through this painful. So somebody came who really kind of deceived us and said, you have to have 20 grand. We don't have that kind of money to have a steeple. And then, on top of that, our roof was leaking. Everybody was complaining about the building, except me. Because it helps when you are from Africa. You don't worry much about a building. So everybody was saying, what are we going to do? And why did we stop work? You don't know what you are doing. Why did we stop insurance? We should not have stopped. Well, it was a mess. didn't take a year. So we had to pay 20 grand to set up the steeple. We had to pay. Somebody came and said about 50 grand to cover the roof, to fix the roof or to put the roof. I said, no. God must have a way to fix this. So people who heard, without me saying, someone who heard raised money for the roof. So this was 50,000. That was estimated, the least we can do. So we finished the roof with $20,000. Our church did not pay a penny for that. Somebody else raised it, our partners at First Free. So I think they thought this leader is foolish, so we have to do something for him. I don't know how they did that. And the steeple that was said, 20 grand, it's finished, $5,000, everything included. So everything said less than 50% of what is estimated God just provided. But the pain through all of that, I'm not saying every problem will be solved like this. But what I'm saying is, God shows up in the midst of your pain. There was another man I was sharing this morning, actually, who needed our help. He's not a believer. He was not a believer. His wife left him because she had an affair. She took all his money with the kids. And he just wanted to kill himself. So, you know, Lori found him. And he starts sleeping at our church. And when we start talking to him, there is just this really big wall that no one could cover, could break. And I said to Jeff, because some of you know him, I just don't want to deal with this. Because I'm so tired with that kind of thing that's come. And suddenly, within 3 weeks or so, God showed up. This man just broke in tears and came to Christ. God shows up in his glory in the midst of your pain and discouragement. I'll tell you one more story. My wife and I, we paid our last bill. It was probably, we are married now 11 years, so it's a new marriage within a year. We didn't have anything. So that night, we don't have anything to pay the mortgage. We don't have anything to pay any of our loans. We were stuck, and I said to my wife, you know, I remember back home, I didn't know where my next meal comes from. God provided. The God who provided in Africa is the same God who is here. So we prayed, we went to bed, and the next day, my wife calls me, and she said, you can't believe what happened. And I told her, no, I can't believe. Just tell me. And she was paying a student loan, their company, if you work 5 years or more, 75-80% of your student loan, the company will refund you. She has never known that until that point. So that day, she hears somebody mentioning that I got my student loan refund. And how do you get that refund? If you work more than 5 years, you will get that. So we didn't have anything. $4,000 came the next day, and God just took care of. God shows up in the midst of pain, discouragement to the people who serve him. So Isaiah sees all of this glory from God. And you know what happens? He sees his brokenness, his sinfulness. And he sees he doesn't deserve what he has. And he says, woe to me. And the message for him is, your sin is removed. It's atoned for. He was looking to the cross of Christ. It was looking that message. Your sin is paid for. Your
you are atoned for.
After that, Isaiah was ready to go and serve. So as I told you, I was discouraged, but I heard this message that why does God deal with sinful, broken people? Why to put Emmanuel in this area where there is a lot of brokenness? Why does God put our church in the area where you will be tired of the brokenness you hear every day? Why? Because God wants to get the ultimate glory. It's not about us. So I was asking, why does God have to deal with me? Why does God have to save me? He doesn't have to. But that's what brought me to ministry. I say, if God loves a person like me, who has a mess, who's a sinful man, who's a broken man, who has nothing to offer, this God deserves to be served. Amen? I think that's true. So Isaiah saw his sin and he said, woe to me. And God said, I have taken your sin. And when God asked, who will go for us? Isaiah was ready, because if God takes all my sin, all my brokenness, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, this God deserves to be served in the midst of pain and discouragement. So it's not because, you know, it's very easy these days to feel that we are somebody or we deserve somebody or something, or it's because we are good or that God called us to ministry or called us salvation. No, we have nothing to offer. That's the truth. Because God called a broken, sinful, undeserving people like you and me to this work. He saved us. He forgave us. He deserved to be served at cost, if there is any cost. He comes to people who are broken and sinful with his glory. That's our God. I'm always, every day amazed. So, if you really want to live for the glory of God, if you really care about the ministry God is doing, the first thing we need to know is God doesn't have to have us, but he called us regardless. So we need to learn. Not to be entitled to our ministry or to what we do. I think especially the inner city ministry needs to learn that. And the people whom we are minister, none of us have any entitlement. So if you want to serve God, if you want to be effective in the city, if you want to touch people's lives, you have to avoid entitlement mentality. I am here because of who I am. Isaiah was like that. He is not entitled, but the glory of God came to him. And look at the salvation history. None of the people God has done great things are people who are entitled. You know, David is one of the worst sinful people who ever lived, as you know. But God said to him, what? A man after my own heart. And have you seen David's song? My Lord, who am I? That's what he said. There is no one on earth as humble as Moses. You know, Moses rejected from his family. He was hiding somewhere. He was like undocumented immigrant. Yeah, he was hiding, and then one day he saw a burning bush because he was not entitled. So it's a very important thing that the church needs to be called to be humble. I am nobody. You want to see the glory of God? Avoid the entitlement mentality. And our core value, our ministry should focus on that, on people who think they deserve. You know, I never heard it back home. The entitlement we have in our culture is a little bit different. But one thing I hear in America is, I deserve this. I have done this. I hear that a lot. Within the church, I hear that again and again and again. You know, my response is, because God has just hammered me again and again, I say, you know, no, you don't. Even the breath you have, the hands you have, the feet you have, you didn't make them, did you? No, God gave those to you. So why do you see a lot of people entitled? Nothing they brought into this world. So that's the most important thing in our ministry. The other thing is, spend time in prayer. Just make God your friend. And on the word of God, know God more. Isaiah saw God in his glory. The more he know God, the more he was able to serve. You see the book of Isaiah, the later part. We see the millennium, the just amazing things that will come back to the people of God. He saw the glory of God. Spend time with others. Worship with others. Become a godly community. Let your best friends be people who are godly. I see in this culture sometimes very compartmentalized. This is my best friend, but the rest of those are other people. Let the people of God be your best friends. The other thing is, tell stories, the gospel stories, what God has done to you. What happened? What happened? You just share how God just loves broken people, loves undeserving people. When you share that story, you will touch people's heart. Many people come to Christ. I was sitting in a coffee house back home after God called me to ministry. And, you know, in the midst of communism, many Christians, they hide themselves. They don't want to. And I'm not more courageous than them, but there are some Christians who say, God loved me. I want to do anything. So I was praying to eat. So two guys came, approached my, where I was having my food and team, and asked me about my faith. I told them, and they just laughed at me that, you know, because in communism, in socialism, people think we came from, you know, the sides. We came from the monkeys. there is a song in Ethiopia, I'm not a monkey. I'm a human being. You know, there was a lot of argument about that. But so they laughed at me. But after 6 months, I was preaching in my church. And somebody invited them. And they said, you gave for this your full time? I said, yes. Well, if this thing is something you can give full time, maybe there is something into it. So they came to Christ that day. And one of them ended up being the prayer leader for the whole city. God shows up in his glory when you think he is not there, he is there. Please don't be entitled. Please tell the gospel stories to others. Be a community that care. about the glory of God more than anything else. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and pray. Yes. Father God, I thank you for the truth that there is a light in this community that will show your glory. I thank you for Emmanuel, for Pastor Todd, for Ryan and Dana, for Mike and Heather, and for many people who serve you here. Lord, I pray that you protect your servants here. I pray that there will be the demonstration of your grace and your glory. Bless us as we go out this week. May glorifying you be the main thing we want to do this coming week. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for accepting us as we are. In Jesus' name, amen.